Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I have a guest across the way, my monthly guest, usually here on the second Wednesday of every month, and it is the second Wednesday of March. Welcome into the studio again, Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. How are you doing, Mike?
Fantastic. How are you today?
I am doing all right, having a good day. Are you having a good day, having a good month?
So far, so good.
You're staying very busy since the last time you and I talked, aren't you?
Yes.
I did not realize until you said just a few minutes ago that I've always had the impression that that folks would occasionally end up in jail and not get out, like over when it's cold or something, and or for a few days and then get out. But you've had a full jail for pretty much the last 2 or 3 months, haven't
you? Yes, it's been full. We've had for whatever reason, whatever we get rid of, we seem to refill pretty quick.
Yeah. How does that affect your planning? Because you go into November, that's when you do your budgets, and the year starts in December, and you have to plug a number in, I presume, for the number of inmates, or your average. You probably pick the same average as last year or something like that. Your average numbers a day are what, 20 maybe? 21 inmates per day would be average?
Probably 18 to 22 would be a good average.
So you got to plug that number in
to
your budget. And then you've been well over that for the first 3 months of the year, two and a half months anyway. How does that affect your budgetary process, or where does there, you have an extra general fund that money comes from, or what?
It will hurt us this year simply because we were cut a little bit in that line item, the feed and care prisoners line item. So it'll be a thin year in that part of the budget for sure.
Do you start making Spam instead of burgers or something, or how's that work? Probably cutbacks all over the place.
It hurts us in ordering, as far as ordering food every week, ordering from the suppliers and things like that. If we have a run, then we're short, and we may have to go to some of the local stores to buy some extra milk or bread or whatever to get through till the next truck comes.
How that's a point I hadn't thought about. You know, you and I have talked about the a day in the life of a prisoner before. What happens in jail, and what's the food? I mean, is it TV dinners? It can't be TV dinners or something. Is it TV dinners?
It is. In the mornings, a lot of times you've got cereal, toast, that sort of thing.
Yeah. They get the little boxes of cereal that you'll see in the...
No, we order it in bulk. I mean, it comes in bags, the big bulk bags.
Okay.
They get cereal, toast, and then lunchtime, a lot of times it's the TV dinners. And then in the evenings, maybe sandwiches or vice versa. You know, we may switch it around. Now, some of the COs, they will cook, you know, make a big pot of ham and beans or a chili or goulash or something like that.
This is a change of pace.
Sure. And I think, you know, they appreciate something that's more, I guess, quote unquote, home cooked, as opposed to, you know, something between two pieces of bread or a TV dinner.
What do the other jailers do? What you've talked to, I mean, there are probably 90% of the sheriffs in Illinois have a jail.
Mm-hmm.
I know Edwards County doesn't, but there are probably some other small counties that don't as well.
Right, Hamilton does not either.
What do other jailers do? Is Fairfield a good place? I mean, I'm reminded of the Blues Brothers. You remember the Blues Brothers movie?
Yes.
When they're sitting there, the pepper steak at the Joliet County Jail is just the worst, or something like that. Or do the other jails have? Do you all go to the same suppliers, I guess?
No, I think years ago Wayne County was probably a fantastic place to come because
when Junior Cannon,
when Miss Lula was cooking, I think things were really good.
Not maybe a fantastic place to eat.
Right.
I'm not sure you wanted to stay there.
No,
that place looked, I went in and toured it after the prisoners were gone. And that place looked like it was a rough, dank place to be.
I can't imagine, but I think the food was good.
Did you ever go in and see the old place?
No, it was gone. It was gone whenever I moved to Wayne County. Just gone.
Recently gone.
And It just depends on the size of the jail as far as what they use. Some places will use, I know Aramark food service is big in Illinois, where they will pre-prepare the meals and they truck them in the all the plastic thermo containers.
You get sales reps and all that kind of thing?
Oh, yes.
From Aramark or Sodexo or something like that? Kind
of? Right. They a lot of times will attend the conferences that we go to. One conference a year for the sheriffs, we have the vendors come in, and whether it be healthcare vendors, whether it be the food vendors, different things. Now, and that's the other thing with us versus a large jail. You have the food vendors versus and healthcare vendors. You'll have contracts with a healthcare vendor who supply the medicines, the doctors, the nurses, and everything else. But no, for us.
So that's all I'll get back to specific for you. But I'm trying to understand how the healthcare vending works for at that level. Do they? It's for the most part a service paid for by the county,
right?
It's not like you're driving people out to the hospital all the time.
No, they come to your facility to do the work. They take care of the medications, so all of the prescription stuff is taken care of, and then they have the healthcare providers, whether it be doctors, nurses, whatever need be, they will come to the facility and take care of everything.
I'm assuming the healthcare coverage in the jail isn't that good.
It's actually very good.
Really?
Yes, we try to we use all three of the healthcare providers here in town, as far as Christopher Rural Health, Horizon, and the hospital, we use.
I guess you don't understand my point. I was thinking of access.
Oh, they have ready access to it.
Maybe that's why we got so many people in jail right now, Mike.
That may be. I do know that some folks they will, from the state or federal system, they will come back with new teeth or whatnot. So they've got really good access at the state and federal level to this. But no, we make regular trips to doctors, dentists, stuff like that. That's a weekly regular thing.
Whenever you make a trip to the doctor or the dentist, I mean, you'll see it on TV, you know, every time you see a policeman sitting outside of somebody's hospital room, that guy's going to escape on TV, right? I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen. But that's probably not exactly how this works, is it? If you have somebody in the hospital or
we do have to sit out there.
You have somebody there, but do you have them padlocked or not padlocked, but
sometimes it depends on the person in custody
and the illness.
If it's a significant flight risk, obviously they will be handcuffed, you know, in bed or to the bed or whatever we need to do. But a lot of times we try to make it as
helpful,
uninvasive as possible.
Yeah.
Cause it's a bad place to be anyway. You don't want it to be any more uncomfortable than you have to make it.
Which would you prefer?
I think some of them would
late in jail or late in the hospital. Yes.
Yeah, I think they would rather be in the hospital.
I don't know. I was just got to thinking about that. Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm sitting here talking with Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. So right now we have what's the population?
29 this morning.
29 today. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty close to full, isn't it?
Yeah, 34 is full. We have had you know little pallets on the floor here in the last two or three weeks.
Have you?
Yeah. So it has been, it's been bigger than we've had up to 33. Last week, I believe we were at 33 a day or two. And so it's.
Does that force you all? I know you have, we've talked about how it affects your budget in terms of food and care. Mm-hmm. Does it also affect you in terms of security and your COs?
You just have to be a little more vigilant.
Do you need more?
Not necessarily. Because there's not a lot of movement. We don't have a lot of inmate movement if it's a heavy court day, but there are extra COs on certain parts of the day, so we are able to cover that. But with no more movement, see, 10 or 15 years ago, whenever I first started, there was a lot of inmate movement because of, they would take smoke breaks out in the play yard.
Yeah.
And so there were people.
And when you're talking inmate movement, you mean an inmate moving from one secured section of the jail to another secured section.
Right. So we try to minimize, unsecured movement as much as possible.
How much? So without the smoke breaks, do they? Do the in your average day, will a Will a inmate even leave their cell at all? I guess not.
Well, they have the day rooms that they are able to get out into to exercise or do whatever. But no, outside of that, no, not likely unless they have to go to court.
I'll be doggone. I'm just wondering, just to try to avoid the place as well.
Yes, it's best just not to be there at all.
Sounds like the perfect plan to me. Just to avoid the food. I'm asking about the food to avoid, and I'm asking about the you want to make sure you get exercise. Like
yes, so yes.
I walk my dogs now. I don't think I'd be able to do that if I were staying in jail.
No, it'd be a very small loop.
Would they let me walk Bolo?
That could be a pretty good exercise because it'd be more running away from him probably than anything.
I bet that's right. Talking with Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett here this morning on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back talking about a little bit more about what's going on at the jail and in the county when we return here after these words.
I was running through the summer rain, trying to catch the evening train and kill that old familiar pain, weaving through my tangled brain. But when I tipped my bottle back, I smacked into a cop I didn't see. That policeman said, "Mr. Cool, if you ain't drunk, then you're a fool." I said, "If that's against the law, tell me why I never saw a man locked in that jail of yours who wasn't just as low-down poor as me." Well, that was when someone turned out the lights, and I wound up in jail to spend the night and dream of all the whining and lonely girls in this best of all possible worlds. Well, I woke up next morning feeling like my head was gone and like my thick old tongue was licking something sick and wrong. And I told that man I'd sell my soul, something wet and cold is that old cell.
Morning, folks.
That kindly jailer grinned at me, all eaten up with sympathy, then poured himself another beer and came and whispered in my ear, "If booze was just a dime a bottle, boy, you couldn't even buy the smell."
That's the question right there. That begs the question: how often do the jailers get to drink beer in the jail?
We try to make that only for special occasions.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful.
Holidays, birthdays, you know, things like that.
Sure, yeah, that sure. Makes sense. That makes sense, Mike. I'm all for that. This is Bruce Dickey. This is the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. I've got Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett, and we've been talking about stuff going on at the jail. Let's talk a little bit about the election coming up. Now, in past years, I don't think maybe not in Fairfield or maybe not in Wayne County, but you hear stories where police have to like accompany the ballot boxes back. Mm-hmm. You are open to that, but you guys don't usually have to do that, do you?
No, there hasn't been one here, or at least since I've lived in Fairfield, that was so
rough.
Right, that we had to be involved. There hasn't been one yet.
But I guess in the past, well, you know, you always hear in Chicago or
sure.
Something. You guys would be open to such.
Oh, sure. We would have to do that. You know, I'm sure the county clerk would request that of us, and we would help her in any way possible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, you guys got to work in the same building.
Yes.
Well, near buildings. What do you think about the election? What do you think about? Well, let's take away from locally, since I mean, you can't really speak to locals, can you?
No, probably shouldn't. No.
Probably shouldn't. What do you think about the statewide or congressional election? I've been kind of surprised how it seems like the McCarter and Shimkus campaigns have really been kind of at each other's throats.
It has been a fairly contested race. I know, you know, John has been our congressman for a very long time. And, you know, there are, both of them have good – Congressman Shimkus has done great things for us here. But I know that Senator McCarter has good ideas as well. Some of the platforms that he has run on in the past have been good things. I think I have some mutual friends in common with Kyle, and everything that I have heard about him is that he's a stellar individual.
Yeah.
But I don't know him on a personal level. I've met him one time, and that was it. When he was running for when Senator Jones' seat was redistricted and everything, and he was running for that state Senate seat, I met Kyle 4, 5, 6 years ago, probably.
Do you get the sense that that now we're handicapping here? Can you? I'm not asking you to choose somebody,
mm-hmm.
and you got to figure that a long-term congressman is probably going to have the upper hand when it comes to an election like this, but McCarter's been running pretty strong.
He has. I think, you know, anytime you look at name recognition like Congressman Shimkus has, that's hard to beat. You know, the name recognition is hard to beat. Not that it can't be,
right,
but it is hard to beat. Yeah, so...
And McCarter started at zero pretty much in this county.
Right. And coming
probably for most of this district.
Coming this far east for him would be the biggest handicap that he has had.
It has to go all the way up to Champaign, I believe, right? And down to where does it end? At the end of this county, I think, right?
Yeah,
aren't we the bottom county?
We're the southernmost county.
Yeah.
And so he, you know, I think he will run probably very strong over in his area, you know, towards the Metro East area.
Well, the tricky part for McCarter there, though, is that his area is also Shimkus'
yes,
area.
Yes, right, right. So it's, I would hate to even.
You're not even going to hazard a guess, are you?
I hate to even hazard a guess.
Do you realize because I'm recording the show?
Yes. Yeah. I can't be pinned down on anything. I honestly don't know. Like I said, I think, you know, just from strict name recognition and how long he's been here, I think that Congressman Shimkus would have a slight edge.
When it comes to name recognition, is that what is we've talked off the air a little bit about the Trump phenomenon and how that's continuing on. Name recognition has to be a gigantic part of his popular elections, right?
Yes, I think that is a huge, because if we're talking about Trump,
yeah,
you're looking at someone who was, boy, I need to choose my words carefully. He was a cultural figure,
right?
Before
celebrity,
yes, yes, he was a cultural celebrity before any of this. So he has, that name has been out in front of the public for years. And years and years.
30 years, probably.
Yes. As opposed to someone like Rubio or Cruz, who
probably... Is a Texas senator and a Florida senator that nobody
who in
around
their
here
areas
would, right,
are probably very popular and very wonderful human beings, I'm sure. But when you're talking about a man who has amassed not only the public persona and the public celebrity that he has, but also amassed a wealth that covers not just a state... Or not just a country, but a worldwide pot of money, so to speak.
Well, yeah, the guy's probably among the top three or 400 or fewer richest people in the world.
Probably, yes.
And you can that buys all kinds of signs, yard signs.
That's a lot of yard signs. So I think when you look at Trump, you're looking at someone who it has just really. Rode his recognition and his celebrity, for lack of a better word.
Now you're in elections. You have to you're continuing. You have to campaign from time to time. And
yes.
Have you've been doing it for a few years now, and that kind of gives you a different perspective than those of us who don't look at it, mm-hmm, from that perspective. Have you ever seen anything like? Somebody coming out of relative, not obscurity, but as a politician, the success that Trump's having.
No, like we talked about off the air, I would not have fathomed that he would have made it,
yeah,
as far as he has, with the success, the unbelievable success that,
yeah,
he has had. It's
the guy's a good marketer.
It is. I think when you look at former President Reagan,
right.
There's one that I think would be.
I see what you're saying.
You know,
someone who was a celebrity prior to
Governor Schwarzenegger. You know, those folks there maybe had political ideals or a specific ideology, but
people knew them then,
right? And those folks used that celebrity. Even Jesse the Body Ventura became governor.
Yeah.
So those folks used that same kind of celebrity, that same kind of name recognition and notoriety. Not that they didn't have other qualities, but that was a huge thing for them to be able to use and garner support and be popular.
You know, you bring up a few folks like that. I guess it kind of has to even go down to other levels. Like you had Congressman Sonny Bona.
Right.
Had Congressman Fred Grandy, for crying out loud. Congressman Gopher.
Yeah.
From the Love Bug.
Steve Largent.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he still living in Congress, isn't he? Or did he retire?
I think he's done now.
Okay.
But he was a representative from Oklahoma for a long time.
Right.
So I think it was Oklahoma.
No, he was in Washington. J.C. Watts was from Oklahoma, the quarterback from Oklahoma.
From Oklahoma. Okay. So, you know, again, those folks on a little bit more regional level have had great success with that same name recognition. So I think, again, you know, I'm not trying to equate Congressman Shimkus to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Sure.
But still, you're looking at that same I voted for John Shimkus for however many years now.
Yeah.
Every 2 years I punch that ballot for John Shimkus.
That's what folks are saying.
Right. And that's a hard thing to beat, especially after this many years.
We've been talking all about Republicans and the Trump side. I didn't get your prediction on whether I haven't looked at an Illinois poll, and I feel terrible, stupid that I haven't looked at it, because being an Illinois Republican, which I guess I freely admit, since somebody could look up my polling, which ballot I pull. Being an Illinois Republican, it really doesn't matter.
No,
in the long run,
no. You know, we've seen one time in the last few years where being a Republican in Illinois mattered, and that was this last gubernatorial election.
Right.
So as far as our electoral votes and things like that will come from Illinois, I don't know that it will matter.
Yeah, the electoral votes will end up in November, presumably, unless you never know.
I will hazard a guess on that.
Governor Kasich, Senator Rubio, Senator Cruz, or Mr. Trump surprised the world.
And it could very well happen. I said to you earlier, I will no longer discount.
So who's going to win Illinois on the Republican side? I'm asking you. They're not paying attention. Mike, nobody's going to listen to this.
I would hate to discount Trump. I really would. I know not that I'm a fan, or not that I am a supporter of his in any way, shape, or form.
You're not making a
This is not a stump for him. I just wouldn't be surprised because at every turn, it seems like he keeps coming out on top.
Look at the other side. Bernie Sanders ended up winning Michigan last night. Nobody expected that.
No.
All the polls, he was behind. He was no closer than 5% in any poll in Michigan. They're all done. They run 30 or 40 polls and averaging about 15 to 20% behind. Mm-hmm. And he comes from behind and wins last night somehow. How do you now? Granted, you're a Republican. You run as a Republican.
Yes.
So, do you have an opinion on who's going to win Illinois? I guess. Hillary's got more money than the Lord Jesus, our Savior.
I can't imagine that Bernie will win Illinois. That would be a super surprise to me if he could pull out. Just because I think she will have more support in the northeastern part of our state.
The interesting part about the Michigan win. Was whenever just for and I'm doing this only for a statistical point. She didn't run well with African Americans in Michigan, whereas she ran real well in the South with African Americans, and folks, the pundits tend to think that, well, if you got an African American, they're going to vote one particular direction.
Right.
And she didn't run that well in Michigan, and that's what makes me wonder about Bernie a little bit in Illinois.
It could be.
If he could, he's got to try to get one of those kind, same kind of upsets.
Sure, he may very well. His platform, I don't know. Like I said, I'm anxious to see how it goes with the two of them.
See, that's the thing, Mike. You really don't care.
No, as far as those two go, I really don't. I just hope they get beat by whoever.
Have you thought about being a delegate ever?
No, never have.
You know, I saw the ballot, and you have delegates for. I looked at the ballot. They have delegates for each. How do you become a delegate?
I don't know. I'd have to look that up and find out.
Yeah, at some point, somebody might ask you. Been a longstanding, successful Republican candidate, I presume. You would think they'd ask you.
Well.
So how about we just put it out there right now?
I've never been approached.
You're waiting for the delicate trip to Jamaica or something. Mike is not talking at all. He's nope. Mike's preparing to leave the room. you're listening to this is Bruce Dickey. That's Mike Everett, Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett over there. We're going to talk about some more stuff about how the training and what's going on with the Wayne County Sheriff's Department when we return here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back after these. Good morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. I've got Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett here. We've already determined who's going to win the presidential primaries in Illinois. And they didn't even mention Ohio. Does Kasich have a chance to win Ohio? And does Rubio have a chance to win Florida? Or is Rubio done?
I don't know. I just can't imagine how they can come back at this point, either one of them.
Kasich is basically banking it all on winning Ohio, getting those delegates there, and taking them to the convention and seeing what he can get out of it. I think.
Yeah, I don't think that any of them have a shot at this point.
Same as Rubio.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the about your training going on. You have continuing education that pretty much required at all times.
It is. It's required by law. That we do continuing ed hours every year, and
for both you as well as for all your deputies, right?
Right.
Tell me a little bit. Didn't you go to one this week or last week?
We did, or I did. I went to Peoria to our Winter Sheriff's Conference.
Now, before you get into that, I didn't even ask. There's no sheriff's election this. I know not for you, but I didn't know if statewide or are those split, or do all the sheriffs run at the same time?
They all run at the same time.
10, 14, 18.
Right.
Okay.
So I don't think there are any, unless there is a special election for a sheriff in Adams County, who is now the executive director of the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if his appointee will have to run in November to...
The Adams County sheriff was named the instructional board chairman.
Right.
And so now they've got
a... They've appointed a new sheriff.
I see.
And I don't know if Brian will have to run in November to fill that two-year term.
2 years.
Right. Right.
So the continuing education, you have to attend stuff, and you went to, where was it this time?
The Pierre Marquette in Peoria.
Oh, really? So how's it looking now? I haven't been there since the renovation.
It's very nice. I was there right before they started the renovations, and it needed some help.
Yeah.
And it's they've done a really nice job downtown. It's really nice. They have put up a new hotel right next to the Pierre Marquette.
Oh, really?
Yes. I believe there were some other establishments there once upon a time.
Yeah.
But now there's a new Courtyard by Marriott. So Marriott owns that whole block, and they've redone have a really nice civic center there.
Pierre Marquette own the Marriott owns Pierre Marquette?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very nice. Very nice area downtown now.
Where'd they move the establishment that was right next to the
Pierre
Marquette?
It's 5 or 6 blocks away, I think.
5 or 6 blocks?
Yeah, I know.
That's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the other one there, too. I guess it was just the one. All right, well, so you guys had long hikes.
Had what?
Long hikes.
No, not really.
I'm just teasing.
The farthest I got from Caterpillar hosted the sheriffs one of the evenings at their visitor center there in downtown.
Oh, they've built that's a close new, by too, yeah.
And it's a very nice facility.
Is that down by the river?
Yes, it's a super nice place.
Tell me about there are all kinds of new issues facing law enforcement in 2016, and maybe number one on the list is body cameras. What's new in that?
It is that they're really trying to hone in and nail down some of the things that are issues with the Illinois law. The Illinois law is very vague, very gray. It's not mandatory yet, but to have
you see
them,
that coming?
Yes. That's one of the bills that was introduced or is being introduced for this year, is to make them mandatory. I don't know that will happen this year, but I'd say in the next 2 to 3 years, they will become mandatory. The bill that they have introduced for this year makes it for cities or agencies larger than, I believe it's 200,000 or something like that, makes it
so not quite to our level.
Not quite in our level.
Are they funding it, or is it going to be funded at all? I mean,
there are grants out there.
You would think a community over, like, say, Champaign County, it's right. Probably got about 200,000 people in it.
Right.
That's going to be a pretty nice ticket for the police station at that level.
It will. When you look at large agencies that have 100, 200 employees or more in the state, that will be a large ticket item for them. Now, I think the Training and Standards Board has said in the past that there will be grants available mm-hmm. for this, but with the state's budget the way it is, there are no grant monies to be had.
For anything.
Right. So at this point, body cams are on the back burner for a lot of departments. And I think some are just trying to see and feel out how it's going to shake out, how the law is going to work. You don't have to have body cams right now, but if you do have them, there is a set of rules and a law that you have to follow if you have them.
Like how you go into a home.
Right.
Still being decided too.
Right. When you can and cannot have it on,
right?
The storage, how long you have to keep the videos, that has been the biggest expense from talking to other sheriffs and chiefs across the state, has been the biggest expense that they have had, not in the cameras, but the storage and man hours that it costs to keep this system and keep these things up to date, because you've got to have somebody that's in charge or that deals with
somebody in charge of the video,
right?
Are the are dash cams required now, or do we have dash cams on the video?
We do have, yes.
I thought
we've had those for quite some time.
Are they required?
No. No, they are not.
What those have proven pretty effective for you, haven't they?
Yes, and just like the body cams, they are effective both ways. When you look at it from an administrative standpoint, a body cam, a dash cam, either one, can be beneficial to administration or to the public, either one. It either proves on our end that the officer acted in a professional manner, that he did not say what that person, you know, accused him of saying or did what that person accused him of saying, or from the public standpoint, it is a tool to deal with an inappropriate behavior or, right, or things of that nature.
Well, and for that matter, I can only think that dash cam footage could be real valuable as training.
Sure, sure.
Somebody sees what they're doing. I mean, just as if I'm Joe Patrolman or Joe Deputy heading out on my first stop, I'd kind of like to see, and you as my boss might want to see, hey, this is how you can improve, this is what you can change.
Right. And those are things that can be used, and obviously you've seen misuse of the body cams. Sure. and you know, it out into the public and the media, but I think for the most part it's a fantastic tool. A lot of sheriffs are starting to use them in the jails as well.
Oh really?
And that has helped. They showed us a specific video during the training this week of an inmate, constant grievances and things like that for medical attention, for pain meds, just really having a problem, needing to see a specialist about a shoulder and this, and that, and the other. And then they went to the body cam footage with one of the COs saying, and here is inmate such and such, and he was under the stairs doing push-ups just as hard and fast as he could go. So it helped them in that process to eliminate or to
disqualify a guy who said, right, yeah, claiming that it was some kind of fraud,
right,
some kind of fraudulent attempt.
And I think the detractors of law enforcement today across the country are wanting these dash cams or body cams, thinking that what you're going to do is catch a bunch of jackbooted thugs, yeah, out there doing horrible things to people, yeah, on a
and
daily
that's not
basis.
There, is it?
It's not. Yes, there are bad, just like there are bad
sales reps.
Else. Yes.
Bad broadcasters.
Yes, just like any of that. But I think what you would see from a large majority of officers, whether it be state, local, across the country, is you see professional guys dealing with stuff that most folks wouldn't want to deal with.
Yeah.
and trying to make the best of it.
You any training issues? Any other training issues they kind of harped on at you guys up there?
Yeah, one of the things that they talked to us about a lot is policy issues, officer-involved shootings. Had an attorney from the northern part of the state come and talk to us about officer-involved shootings. The San Bernardino County Sheriff was there over the week.
Oh, really?
Talking to us both about the Dorner incident there in 2013, and then here recently in December, the incident with the husband and wife, the terrorist shootings in the health department there in San Bernardino.
Did you ask him what he think? Think he's going to get the Apple information? He's probably not really the one looking for the Apple information, the phone information.
No, it would be the FBI at this point because they made it into a terrorist event. But he said he had been the sheriff, I believe, for 6 weeks when Christopher Dorner went off the reservation, so to speak, and killed the cops and the other folks there in San Bernardino, Big Bear area.
Yeah.
And so he's been baptized by fire, for
I
sure.
guess so. Well, yeah, two different – because Chris Dorner the one they had the – they burned out of his cabin or something.
Yes.
That had the big manhunt for,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. So all that was within a year's time.
Oh man, what a! Isn't it better to be in Wayne County?
It is today. Yes, it is.
Tell me a little bit. Okay, you've every time you're here, it's something we always look forward to. It's the Mike Everett restaurant recommendations, and you occasionally travel as part of your job. You've got a new restaurant recommendation, I hear.
I do. When we were up there, the executive board from the Sheriff's Association, which I'm a part of now, we went to the Lariat Steakhouse in Peoria.
Lariat Steakhouse.
Yep, it was a suggestion of the Peoria County Sheriff. And
where is the Lariat Steakhouse?
It's on Glen. I don't know if it's Glen Street, Glen Avenue. It's right off of War Memorial Parkway there in Peoria.
The main drag.
Yes, the main thoroughfare through Peoria.
It goes by Bradley and all
yes.
that.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And very, very nice. It's only about 5 minutes from downtown. Very good. I had a ribeye. Very good. Very good steak.
How do they prepare it? I mean, is it grilled, I presume? Or mm-hmm.
It was charbroiled or whatever, grilled. It's very good.
Baked
seasoned
potato.
Well. No, I didn't have a baked potato. What did I have?
Probably some kind of health thing.
I did. I had a salad.
Asparagus or a salad or broccoli, I suspect.
But it was very good.
So full.
I did have a baked potato. Yes, I did.
Full recommendation.
Yes, full recommendation. Very good. Nice atmosphere. Quality food.
Big steak.
Yeah, I think it was probably
big enough.
18 or 20 ounces.
Really?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Well, how do you take your steaks?
Medium rare.
Okay. Well, see, now you can stay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Actually, now you can't stay because I'm going to kick you out.
All right. I'll leave.
Thanks very much for coming on again today, Mike.
Me.
I do appreciate that. That's Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett of, the Wayne County Sheriff's Department, and we'll talk to him again next month. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. Talk to y'all again real soon.